This episode of Slightly Offsides is brought to you by Better Edge, the legal way to bet socially with no fees. Better Edge is an amazing platform that has most sports. We're talking about all the big sports, as well as college football and basketball, MLS, PGA, and European soccer. The lines are better than what you'll get at most any other sports book. Your spreads and your over-unders will go plus and negative, as well as you can also live trade your bets as they're happening. So if you have a horrible bet and you want to get rid of it mid-game and save some capital, you can do that with Better Edge. I got the opportunity to try it out, and now you're going to be able to do that too. Head on over to betteredge.com and get a free $10 right now when you sign up using the code OFFSIDES. That's OFFSIDES at betteredge.com, BETTOR edge.com. Play the game without getting played.
Welcome to Slightly Offsides, your perfect game plan for all things college and professional football. Hosted by Dre and Mike.
All right, guys, we have a really, really special episode for you guys today. We're starting out a new segment called Off-Season Check-In, where we check in, if you will, with personalities from a bunch of college football teams across the country and get their opinions on, you know, the major things going on with their teams and their programs, as well as a look forward to next year. So we're going to kick it off with a huge fan page on Instagram, OSU underscore Buckeyes, for the Ohio State Buckeye football team. Anthony runs the page. He's joined us tonight. Anthony, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, man, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
So let's kick it off with probably, I would say, the newest news on Ohio State front is the new turf design, right? And so I'm a current student at Ohio State. You've been following it along as well. There's a lot of mixed feelings about this. What are your thoughts on the new turf design and the process that they went through?
I think that they announced a bunch of pictures of designs that were submitted, hyped everybody up thinking that it was going to be something crazy. And then they announce it and it's literally very minimalistic changes. A lot of people that if you show them the picture, they're just going to look at it and be like, what's different? I mean, you have to compare side by side pictures to even see what's different. I think that they hyped it up a lot to make people think that it was going to be some major change or something. And then they just did the most minimal thing ever. And I mean, I can care less, really, honestly. I'm just I don't think it was anything special. It's nothing to really get excited about.
Yeah, it's so funny you say that because I called Dre early. We were doing like a little bit of a pre-episode thing today. We were talking about all the topics and stuff. And I was telling him that this like went down and he was asking my opinion on it. And I said basically the same thing as you. I was like, I'm actually really pissed that they handled it the way they did. And then it ended up being so minimally different. Like they kind of built us up to this really cool, oh, we're going to have a super dope turf design. And then like almost nothing changed except for the font. And so Dre, you actually had some pretty like radical ideas. I don't know if you want to share them on the pod or not, but floor is yours.
Dude, this is the first time I've taken a look at it. Actually, I'm looking at it right now on my screen. I can't tell. I mean, you're right. I guess it's the font and having it being block letters versus like round. It's really, you know, it's kind of sad. I had said something earlier. I said, you know, it's not for every school. Not every school's color palette goes with, you know, the crazy turf, but Boise State is like the first school that I ever thought like, damn, this is different. Like I remember Oklahoma State playing them in like 2011 or something crazy so long ago. And they had the blue turf. And if you showed me every stadium and blacked out all the logos in America, if the blue turf came up, I would be able to tell Boise State. At bare minimum, you know, like Mike had mentioned the alternating patterns on the turf, something that gives it a little bit more distinguishability or, you know,
yeah, like the dark gray, or like the dark green, slightly lighter green. Yeah, like or a little bit of texture or something.
I said you could have put the Buckeye nut head on the sides, on the opposite sides of the Big Tens, you know, anything to just kind of like spice it up and give it some flavor. You had mentioned something about the band. Like,
yeah, yeah, Anthony, I'm actually curious to get your opinion on this. I was talking to Dre and I was like explaining, I'm like, you know, the band is such an integral part of Ohio State, especially the football team. I'm like shocked that they didn't find a way to incorporate like the band's logo or something like that, just minimally on the field. Not really. I saw some sketches that had it like, you know, shaded on the entire field. And I thought that was a little too like tacky, but something small, just a little ode to the band after all they do for the team and the school, I thought they would do, but again, like super minimal design.
They knew what they were doing, man. I'm sure they had it planned out all along, and they probably had that design picked out all along of what they were going to actually go with. They just wanted people to submit their designs in and make people think it was going to be something crazy. I will say, though, I'm super happy they didn't, like, I'm kind of happy they didn't do anything crazy. Like, if they would have changed the color of the field, I would have been pissed. Dude. I'm like, no, yeah. Bro, we don't need that ugly-ass Boise State blue on our field, or not even blue, but, like, red or scarlet or something. Like, we don't want that ugly shit on our field. And also, I think, like, Boise has a crazy color, and I think, like, Hawaii also has something stupid ugly.
Yeah, and Coastal. Coastal's got, like, the teal field.
Shit's Coastal's ugly, man. I don't know, Coastal's, man. I see fields like that. I'm like, how do you – it's – I don't understand how they could play on that field, man. I feel like that would mess with your eyes so much.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I mean, as long as it's within, you know, bounds of like their, you know, uniform stadium fit, like, you know, it's different enough whenever you're the first ones to do it. That's the reason why I like Boise.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm,
you know, you got to be the first one at your color, the first one that makes it look a little bit different than just copy. Like, blue and red are primary colors, bro. Like, I'm not about to just sit here and watch you do the American flag over.
Yeah, no, nah, I mean, I agree with you. I'm like pretty traditional though. I'm like with Anthony on this. Like, I think keeping it pretty bare and stuff. I was just more upset with the process and stuff. But in terms of the actual execution, I mean, I didn't really see anything wrong with the way that our field is now. So, really, I just cared that they were updating the turf because, you know, I'm sure you've seen this, Anthony, but like people were just tripping and falling all over the place. I mean, at some point, not only does it affect the quality of our play, but like you got to worry about injuries.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know what the actual like standards are for it, but I feel like it's like every like 12 or something or 8 years or something where they change the turf. Yeah, but I don't think that kind of turf is good for any school, especially if it's something that hasn't been changed in a long time, because it could really, it could injure somebody and it could have an effect on the game too. So it might be a good thing that they're changing the turf. As long as it like fixes the issues that were already happening with the old turf.
It was just crazy. I mean, I saw more people trip, fall, whatever, lose your balance at Ohio State games, like at Ohio State than anywhere else. It was just, I mean, it kind of got embarrassing to a point, but you know, there's a lot of big changes coming around this off season, right? So we've got the new turf. With the new turf, we've got a completely new revamped coaching staff. Dre knows a lot about that. We went into Dre's backyard and took his defensive coordinator out from underneath him. Sorry for that. Not sorry. We also had a couple of other really good positional improvements, I would say, in the secondary. Obviously losing Kerry Coombs and Matt Barnes are, you know, I think program image kind of sad, but immediate awesome replacements in terms of Eliano and Walton. Anthony, I don't know if you want to touch on them specifically before we head into the offensive changes specifically on the line.
Yeah, I would say that no offense and no disrespect to the guys that got replaced, but Matt Barnes sucked as a coach. Coach Coombs, he fell off big time and wasn't doing his job. Get paid big money to coach a program like Ohio State, you need to do a lot better than what you're doing. We brought you back from Tennessee because we thought you were going to be the same coach you were when you were at Ohio State the first time. Wasn't at all. And it's not like he just had a bad season this year. We were shitty last year too defensively. So yeah, no, Matt Barnes sucked. Coach Coombs sucked. And I'm super glad that we made the changes that we made, because I don't think any fan wanted to go through three seasons in a row with a defense playing the way it did. So I'm happy.
You know, there was a little bit of a tendency. I think one of the main gripes that a lot of Ohio State fans had was his tendency to kind of not necessarily like nepotize his coaches, but he was really like stuck with his group of guys. And this year was a good year for him to break out of that mold and say like, no, I'm capable of going and getting the right guy for the job. It doesn't have to be somebody that we have ties to previously. It's just somebody that I think is going to do a phenomenal job. I think he did that with Jim Knowles. I think bringing in Tim Walton, who Jalen Ramsey said was the best cornerback coach he ever had, I think that's a phenomenal ad. I also think bringing in a specific safeties coach to differentiate the safeties play and the cornerback play is going to be super important, not only for the development of those young guys, but also in a system as complex as Knowles. I think it's going to be really helpful. And then, you know, Knowles is obviously the crown jewel. Dre, do you want to talk about your experience having Jim Knowles as a defensive coordinator?
Yeah, I mean, so as someone who got to watch Jim Knowles do his best work firsthand, I mean, Oklahoma State has never been known for defense. You know, we're a shootout team. We'll play you until the fourth quarter is there, and it may be 60-60, but it's 60-60. That was like a drastic change. He's a hard-nosed defensive guy. I think he really knows how to bring in talent that is – they're hard workers. They don't have any missteps, and if you do have people that are already there, he's going to turn them into that if they're not already one. I think it's kind of one of those things that he brought a culture to Oklahoma State that wasn't there before. You could tell by the guys like Malcolm Rodriguez, a lot of the guys that are going to the draft now after he left, you know, they kind of certain people had mentioned Malcolm Rodriguez senior, but there were certain people that were, you know, planning on coming back, got some of the news and said, all right, like, it, you know, it's time. So, you know, he brought a good culture there. I think it'll stay. It's one of those cultures that, when you get him, you're going to be happy with what he brings onto the table, and whether he's there, whether he's not, I think it's going to be one of those things that he leaves an impact. So, you know, it's a great pickup for Ohio State because, you know, I'm not saying that the defense has been the lacking factor, because again, you guys aren't ever really bad. It's more so about taking it to that next step. I remember telling Mike, it's about taking that next little leap and bound to go get him a chip again. So, you know, it's not about being top four or top three or top two, it's about being one. So, you know, Jim Knowles is probably the guy to get that done.
One of the things I really wanted to see from Ryan Day was, you know, would he give Jim Knowles the keys to just the defense, right? Because I think there was a lot of issues. A lot of fans had a lot of issues with the fact that, hey, you know, maybe he was micromanaging the defense. Maybe he was forcing him to run it a certain way. And it looks like he is essentially telling Knowles that the defense is his gig. Do what you want with it, right? If you want to rename the positions, if you want to change the scheme, thankfully Knowles runs a 4-2-5, similar to what Ohio State has been running, but you're going to see two high safeties instead of a single high safety. And that's going to be, I think, a little bit better because Bryson Shaw was a little suspect at times, at least in my opinion, but I don't know, Anthony, I think that's going to be like one of the big steps for our defense moving forward next year is having somebody who has an entire offseason to devote specifically to that unit.
Yeah, I think that given what Jim Knowles did at Oklahoma State, I don't think he had anything to prove. So I think that it was easy for Coach Day just to give the keys to him and say, this is your defense. Do what you please with them and get them playing the way they should be playing. So, yeah, I don't think he was the type of guy to just come in, you're on a prove it type of thing. Like, I'm going to micromanage how you coach. No, I think that it was straight up Jim Knowles, you're coming in. They didn't pay him the money he did, because I know that Oklahoma State offered him money and Ohio State offered him way more. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be that situation. I think, like we said, it's going to be 100% Jim Knowles' job to get the defense in shape and get it playing like Ohio State football, like everybody wants it to be played, because it's not been good the last few years.
But, okay, so, Anthony, kind of a follow-up question to that, right? It's no secret that Knowles' defense is pretty complex, and it sometimes takes teams a couple of years, right? Like, if you look at Oklahoma State, it was about a 3 or 4 year turnaround. Same thing with Duke. Now he's in Ohio State, and forgive me, Andre, just speaking facts here, you got a lot more talent on your roster, okay, especially defensively. These are a lot of talented young guys. Oklahoma State, he was building a lot of that defense up, and that's why it took them a little bit more time. Do you think, Anthony and Dre, do you guys think it's going to be a quicker turnaround at Ohio State, or do you think, again, we're going to see maybe not the full potential of Jim Knowles at Columbus for, you know, another 1 or 2 years?
I think it'll be a quick turnaround. I think that all the talent is already there at Ohio State. I just think that the coaching has been the issue the last few years. I think that the way that Matt Barnes and them were having the players play. I'm not good with like all the schemes and stuff or whatever, but whatever they had them doing, I don't think it was the players. I think, like I said, the talent was already there. So it was just the way the coaches were coaching the players. So I think that Jim Knowles is going to be instantly night and day compared to what we had last year.
I think it'll be one of those things. It'll take a little bit of time, but it's not anything that you got to worry about over a 3 or 4 year span like in Oklahoma State. I mean, every team has an adjustment period, but it's not going to be anything that I think you should be worried about. Like you mentioned, Jim Knowles is a man heavy dude. Like, he'll run man to man damn near the whole game if he has to, especially if he knows they can throw the ball deep. So, you know, you're going to get one of those guys that comes in. He's going to be able to sit back. I say he, you all are going to be able to sit back, Ryan Day, Ohio State fan, and let the dude do his damn job, because he's one of those guys that you're not going to have to worry about him playing prevent defense until the last second and losing you a damn ball game with, you know, 2 minutes left because you decided to sit back. He's one of those guys that's going to take the risk for you, but get the risk right. So, I mean, and he's got the experience, like you mentioned, Duke, Cornell. That was one of the head coaching positions he's had, Oklahoma State, obviously. So he's got his rep there. I don't think you guys will have any problems with transition.
Yeah, and I think it certainly helps that he brought over one of the biggest pieces of that Oklahoma State defense with him, and Tanner McAllister, as well as a couple of his assistants also came, I think, like two or three of his analysts. So I think I agree with you guys. I think it's going to be a pretty quick turnaround, especially one thing you guys didn't mention that I'm also going to add in there is the difference in expectation, right? Dre, you talked about Oklahoma State, right? In the Big 12, defense is more of a suggestion. It's getting there, right? Oklahoma State is starting to change that narrative. And I think Baylor as well is starting to change that narrative. But, you know, at Ohio State, defense is an expectation. And Knowles knows that if he doesn't come in and dramatically ramp up that learning curve for those guys, that, you know, maybe he's looking over his shoulder in a couple of years if we're not performing the way that we're expecting to. So I agree. I think it's going to be pretty quick. And I think that they made the necessary changes that they had to this offseason, especially with all the questions that were being asked. In terms of the offensive side, we also had some changes. I think, Anthony, these ones are a little bit more surprising though, right? Nobody expected Coach Stud to walk off into the sunset.
No. Either way, it was changes that needed to be made by Coach Day. Ohio State just hasn't been playing to their full potential at all. And all the fans know it. The coaching, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes in the coaching in the locker room or how it goes with them. But as fans watching this, we knew that changes need to be made. And I know that everybody at home, all the coaches in the locker room, especially Coach Day, man, I think he had the hardest job because he had to go out and fire these dudes and find some new people to replace them. I don't think that's ever an easy thing to do for any coach, considering certain guys and coaches have been at Ohio State for as long as they have. But I don't know. I think that I'm excited for the changes, and I think that everybody else is too. I think even the coaches are excited for it.
That's a scary statement that you just made there, Anthony, about the fact that Ohio State's not performing near their potential. Anytime you can take a team that is not performing anywhere near their potential and they win a Rose Bowl and they only lose two games during the regular season. I mean, if that's the low of the lows for Ohio State, we're in pretty good hands. So I agree with you too. I think Justin Fry is going to be really good. Like you said, changes needed to be made. They were made. Got to credit Ryan Day for stepping up, making the tough decisions, especially as a young coach. And another tough decision, I think a great decision he made on the offensive side, was the Brian Hartline promotion.
I mean, Coach Hartline, man, that guy, I mean, everybody knows he was a player at Ohio State, played receiver, but ever since he was given the position as like wide receiver coach, obviously we see what he's doing with the receivers at Ohio State, because we're producing the most talent at receiver right now in college football, going with even guys with like Jamison Williams. I feel like Coach Hartline had his foot in that a lot and got him ready for what he did at Alabama, even what he's going to do in the league. So Coach Hartline deserved that promotion for sure. He's one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver coach in the country. And I think he is the best. I don't think anybody's really coming close to what he's been doing at Ohio State, and especially recruiting too, because every single year we seem to be getting the number one or the number two guy recruiting or committing to Ohio State. So Coach Hartline deserved that big time because he is the best at what he does in the entire country.
And he just keeps doing it. You're right. Like, he brought in year after year. It was like Julian Fleming. He had Garrett Wilson. Obviously, Olave was a gem, but he had Fleming, Wilson. He had Egbuka, right? He's bringing in Harrison Jr. I mean, the dude is absolutely killing it. He just brought in
they have like three or four guys coming from this receiver class.
Keon Graves and
four-star guys.
Caleb Burton. Yeah, I mean, phenomenal. So he just never ceases to amaze me with the amount of acumen he has at the recruiting position. He's absolutely phenomenal. So we talked about a little bit about recruiting, Anthony. I don't know if you keep up with recruiting that much or you kind of wait until the guys step foot on campus. But I think our 2022 commit class here is pretty strong. It's definitely quality over quantity, right? And again, anytime you have a top five class in the country, hard to nitpick anything. What are some of the guys and also position groups do you think are going to stand out the most for like impact players next year?
I think that the defensive line is going to be much improved. The defensive line was like solid last season. It wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't horrible. They really couldn't. I mean, stopping the run was probably one of the main focuses that we're going to focus on this season because we couldn't stop the run to save our lives last year. But linebackers, I'm excited for the linebackers, especially with CJ Hicks coming in. Safety too. I'm excited for safety because we got what's his face coming back from injury.
Oh yeah, we got Proctor. We got McAllister, and then Sonny Styles reclassed.
Yep, and I think Sonny Styles is going to be an impact player right away. I mean, that's just my assumption, but I definitely think he's going to be an impact player. And I'm not sure about what's-his-face that's been playing back there at safety. He's not Bryson Shaw.
Yeah, he's a Band-Aid, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's slow, man. We got to get guys that actually – I mean, he's a hard-hitting guy. He plays with a lot of heart, but he's just not as talented – as the other guys that we had. When Proctor went out, I think that safety position changed a lot, a big time. So with the class that we have coming in, I'm excited. But linebacker, defensive line, safety is going to be great. I think that offensive line was solid. It wasn't the best, but offensive line, I think that is still going to be really good. But the main three are the linebacker position, defensive line, and safety, my top three.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think so. Dre, just to give you a little backstory on this kid, Sonny Styles, that we're talking about. Okay, this guy reclassed. He was originally a 2023 recruit, reclassed. He's now the number one safety in the 2022 class. And this dude has, I mean, talk about a frame. This guy's 6'4", 215, Dre. This guy's play safety. I mean, he's outrageous. He's going to be really talented. I think the biggest issue, at least in my opinion, is how are all these guys going to see the field? Because we still got Ronnie Hickman. We got Tanner McAllister. We got Proctor coming back. You got Denzel Burke. And then you got all these other corners, right, that are right next to him. I mean, lots of talent. We'll see what Knowles does.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of hopefully. I mean, I don't even want to say that because I say, oh, I think we're going to see a lot of different faces. But then we're going to come out and the defense is going to look exactly like it did last year with all the same dudes. I'm like, dude. Bro, if I get Bryson Shaw on this freaking in the – oh, man. Nope. If I don't get some change at linebacker, come on now. No, I think that we're going to see different faces back there on the defensive side. Offensive side, for sure, we already know because changes have to be made because so many different guys leaving for the draft. But defensively, bro, we better see something different. I mean, we got the spring game in like a month, so.
Yeah. That'll be – Dre, I think that – outside of Alabama, maybe there's no school that cares more about their spring game, that televises their spring game, that talks about their spring game more than like Ohio State. I mean, it's actually like, dare I say, it's like a regular season game in the eyes of the fans and the people who really care about the team. Like, everybody's getting analyzed, right?
It's this exciting.
Is like, yeah, it's like combine level stuff for like Ohio State fans. It's like, who's our first look at the depth chart? You know, like, how are these freshmen are going to be playing? Like, you know, everybody's making handshake bets with their buddies over who's going to be the starter. So, I think I'll just go out and say it. My hot take in terms of like this recruiting class impact players, I think CJ Hicks is going to be a freshman All-American next year. I think he's going to absolutely revolutionize our defense. Anthony, I'm sure you know this, but Dre, just for you, Ohio State really hasn't had elite linebacker play since I would probably say Raekwon McMillan, maybe Jerome Baker and Darren Lee in 2014-15. That's probably where I'd say it.
Malik Harrison was pretty solid. Yeah, outside of like those guys and Malik Harrison, like we haven't had, I mean, I would say that Pete Warner was a solid linebacker. I mean,
yeah,
he played really strong, really hard. He's a little slower. So was Tough Borland. Yeah, Tough Borland was just way too slow. He was a good linebacker. He was just too slow for the position. I think that Pete Warner was solid, but it hasn't been the same since like those Malik Harrisons or Raekwon McMillans, or like you said, Jerome Baker. So I don't know, man. We need some, like, dude, if you look back and look at the way like these other linebackers are built, like Jerome Baker's like not the biggest guy, but he's a fast guy, right? And he was making plays because of his speed. He's one of the best linebackers in the NFL right now because of his speed. Raekwon McMillan was the same way. He's always hurt. So I don't know. I'm excited, and I think that the guys like CJ Hicks is going to bring that speed and talent back to where the linebacker position was a couple years ago.
Kid's massive. So he ran track. I know that. CJ Hicks, 11.76 for 100, which everybody like, oh, Usain Bolt runs a not, but like, trust me, most people are running like 12s, 13s, 14s on a 100.
Yeah,
like,
and
I would know.
and Usain Bolt is not a 6'3", 215 linebacker.
He's not 215. He is six. Yeah. He's taller, but he's not 215. So yeah, trust me. I don't watch CJ Hicks highlights already. He's one of those guys. He's one of those cats. He's a scary dude. Yeah, size, mass, speed, athleticism. He's got it pretty much all. But I mean, that's the reason why you're looking at the number 7 player in the country.
I think the defense makes leaps and bounds next year. Probably, hopefully, a top 20 defense next year. And I think realistically, I'll get your guys' opinions on this, but I think realistically, that's all we need at this point, right? I think you go back the past 3 years, Ohio State has a top 20 defense. I think they compete for championships.
I don't know, man. I would hope for maybe, I mean, top 20 sounds cool, but man, top 10 sounds better than me. But I will say too, like a lot of the guys that were started on that defensive line last year, they were young guys. We had true freshmen that were starting a lot of games. A lot of guys that have been at Ohio State underperforming. And then like you said, we got Zach Harrison coming back, and I think Zach Harrison is going to come out in his senior season and play like everybody wanted him to. I think he's got like a chip on his shoulder. He came back to kind of prove himself and show why he was that super highly rated 5-star guy at Ohio State. So he's not played to his full potential like everybody at Ohio State would have hoped. And I think that this is kind of a prove it type of thing, kind of like in the NFL, how you sign players to like super small contracts, kind of like a prove it deal. Jadeveon Clowney with the Browns. I think it's kind of like a prove it thing to himself, to show himself that he is one of the best players at that position. But yeah, no, with the talent coming in and with these true freshmen that we had last year, like Jack Sawyer and JTT, these dudes are going to be just that much better in their second season. So I'm excited, man. I honestly can't wait. And it sucks that we only get 12 games in a season, regular season games. And the season goes by way too fast, because I could watch Ohio State football every single Saturday if it was a thing. So
yeah, that's the vibe around Columbus, man, because, and if you're a Buckeye fan, especially around, like I said, if you live in the Columbus area, there's not really a lot of competing interest, right? In Cincinnati and Cleveland, that's where the major sports teams are. But in Columbus, you're really just competing with the Blue Jackets and the Crew, right? So in terms of football, like Ohio State is treated like almost like an NFL team in Columbus, right? Like everybody just worships Ohio State. You go around, Ohio State flags are outside of houses everywhere. I mean, there's a reason that people care so much about Ohio State around here. So Anthony, like, what are your thoughts is next year? Let's talk 2022 Buckeyes. What does the team look like? What does the expectation look like? What do you think is going to happen?
I think the expectation is the same every single year at Ohio State. National championship or nothing, right? So I think that the Big Ten needs to go away with removing the divisions, so that it's just the top two teams making the Big Ten championship, because that might be a blessing to some teams. While, like, it might have been good in the past, like Ohio State, first seed over there, or the number one team over there, and then we got a really shitty team over there. That's, and we're like, oh, sweet, this is a walk in the park for us in the Big Ten championship. But then at the same time, it kind of screws us over. So we would have been in that Big Ten championship last year if it was the top two teams in the Big Ten. So that sucks. But yeah, our expectations are national championship, man. And if we don't do that, a lot of people think of the entire season as a failure. Not me. I don't get excited when we don't go undefeated or when we don't make it to the Big Ten championship. I think when we lost to the team up north, it was more or less me. I wasn't even mad. I was sad, you know, because I was like, we have no shot at the Big Ten championship, because even if this season would have went a little bit differently and the team up north would have lost maybe another game there or something, we still would have been going to that Big Ten championship. And I would have been like, okay, we still have a chance to sneak into that college football playoffs. But I think reality set in when we lost and I was sitting there kind of bummed out knowing that we can't even go to the Big Ten championship. So I wasn't excited about that. I was happy. I was like happy we got to play in the Rose Bowl and stuff, but our expectations are way too high as fans sometimes. But I think that national championship is what the expectations are. I think we'll be one of the preseason top. We'll definitely be a top four team. I guarantee most analysts and stuff are going to have us on their top four for who's going to make the college football playoffs. But I think the team is going to be great next year, man. Offensively, I don't think they're going to miss a beat at all. We lost two really good wide receivers, but we're replacing those receivers with a guy that literally led us in receiving yards with like 1600 yards. Jackson Smith is going to be the best receiver in the country next year. He's probably going to be one of the Heisman finalists, if not one of the favorites to win the Heisman. Plus we got Travion Henderson, who's coming back as a true sophomore. Like I said, same thing with the defensive guys. He's just in that second year, and we see how he played in his first year at Ohio State. So he's only going to be that much better when he gets to play, gets to add a few pounds, gets to tweak his games or whatever he has to do in the offseason to make himself better. And we already know how good he is. So I think that the team is going to be night and day different offensively. I mean, we can't really get much better on offense, right? We were literally the number one offense in the country last year. But defensively, I think is where we're going to see the biggest improvements. And I think we will see those improvements. And I think that national championship, that's what the call is for sure.
Let's talk transfer portal, right? So I think big time stuff for Ohio State in the transfer portal with some of the guys they pulled in. They got some depth at linebacker, and obviously they got Tanner McAllister as kind of like a package deal with Jim Knowles. But there was also some big time misses, I would say, for Ohio State, and some big time exits, right? So we had Quinn Ewers leave. So let's talk about Quinn a little bit, and then let's also talk about the whole Eli Ricks situation.
Hey, nothing to talk about with that guy, man. That dude was chasing a bag, and that's all he was doing. Dude got his money, left. He's not a Buckeye. That's somebody that, you know, how people consider Joe Burrow a Buckeye. Joe Burrow is a Buckeye. Quinn Ewers will never be a Buckeye, in my opinion. The dude literally played like two snaps at Ohio State in garbage time. Dude wasn't committed from the start. He should have stayed in high school and chose Texas. He left high school early, got a bunch of money, and left us to go to Texas, where he's probably going to make a bunch more money. So I got nothing to say about that guy. Good luck at Texas, but not a Buckeye. So
I don't know. At this point, you know, we've interviewed a couple of players. I'm never going to be mad at a dude for chasing a bag, but you know, it's like, it's one of those loyalty things. If you can't keep it straight, don't go there in the first place.
Yeah, don't come to Ohio State to chase a bag. You come to Ohio State to show out for one of the greatest fan bases in the country. You don't come to Ohio State just to collect a bag and leave. Not. I guarantee any Ohio State fan you talk to, they're not going to have anything, I wouldn't say bad to say about him, but they're not going to even want to, they're going to be like, don't really care.
Yeah,
there's nothing good to say about the guy because he didn't do shit but go to Ohio State for a year and leave. So,
you know, like I said, I'll never be mad at somebody for going to get the bag. If you leave, it really depends upon the situation. I mean, if you're not getting any PT and you know you're not going to get any PT and you got three dudes ahead of you, I mean, there's a certain point. Remember, we talked about this with Wright Bet after the fact. of some at their certain point, you know, when the time is time.
He knew what he was getting himself into, though. He knew what he was getting himself into going to Ohio State.
And that's the thing is sometimes you got to battle with the dogs to beat a dog. But if you, you know, you don't really know until you get there. Yeah, you don't really know until you get there sometimes, and it sucks. But it's like you got to realize that whenever you get it. And, you know, I'm not gonna sit here and bash Quinn Ewers. He's going to have a rough time out here playing against, you know,
I honestly, no offense, bro, but I disagree. I think I'm not really bashing on him, but he didn't pick Ohio State thinking that that's where he wanted to play. I don't think he ever wanted to play for Ohio State. So I think that he came to Ohio State just to get the money and leave. I don't want to guarantee it. Never mind. I take that back. But I don't think that he had the mindset that he was going to stay at Ohio State from the start. He had the plan to go to Ohio State for a year, get paid, and leave. I don't think he knew. He knew he wasn't going to start at Ohio State as a 17-year-old that should have been a senior in high school. He knew what he was doing, bro. That's my opinion. I think that he knew what he was doing when he went there. I think he knew he wasn't going to play. I think he went to collect the bag and left, and it wasn't about him knowing that he wasn't going to play. He knew he wasn't going to play. He just wanted to go get the money and leave. He knew what he was doing. He knew he was going to go to Texas right after that. I think it was all planned that he had planned out.
Yeah, I think an important add-on to that, at least for me, the way I look at it, is I think the only way he comes into that situation, I think the only way in his mind he's thinking I'm staying at Ohio State is if he somehow walks in that building and takes the starting job like day one, right? But he like in the back of his head, I agree in the sense that like he couldn't have rationally thought that that actually was going to happen because he literally arrived on campus. Like he made the decision to reclass and join. It was like 3 weeks before the season. Like he was on campus for less than a month before the season started. And then like all the fans were like, where's Ewers? Where's Ewers? And Ryan Day's like, dude, I'm still like trying to get him used to being a college kid. And like, we haven't even started the playbooks with him or anything. Like, and y'all want him on the field. Like, what are you talking about?
Regardless whether he knows he's going to play or not, if you got four dudes ahead of you, you're not going to want to be there in the first place.
Yeah,
you should have picked Texas in the first place.
You won't know about who's going to be there and who's getting what and who's doing what until you get there and you play. That's the main thing. Because if he came out there and lit it up, nobody would say a damn word about him.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, everybody knows that if the kid went out there as a 17-year-old, went out there and threw 400 yards one game and averaged about 220, 225 and led y'all to a 14-0 season and wins a Heisman, nobody's saying shit if he leaves. But the kid came out there. He ain't know what the hell he want. He's 17. He's younger than everybody on this podcast. The kid's stupid. He is to a certain degree.
Like, I think he's going to look back and regret it. Yeah. I'm
not mad at him at all. Because
he wanted to go to Texas the entire time, guys. Come on.
I mean, there's probably some truth to that. Like he was originally – I mean, he was originally committed to Texas, right? And then he's decommitted.
From Texas, bro.
He's Texas. Like he is Texas all the way through. I mean, and
the mullet says it.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, and I decided not to.
Favorite of mullets, but the mullet says it. So you know, he's gonna have a tough time wherever he goes at this point because everybody's gonna have a target on his back. Everybody knows he's a young dude. Everybody knows that he's kind of a cop out. All they got to do is beat him in a couple of times and see how he goes from there. So Texas going to the SEC, I don't know what he's thinking is going to be for him. But, you know, he probably, in my opinion, he should have just waited it out.
I will say this about Quinn. I hope for his sake that he didn't make a massive career mistake by reclassing because he reminds me a lot of Tate Martell in the sense that this was came to Ohio State, highly, highly touted guy. I mean, when Tate Martell stepped on campus at Ohio State, hadn't lost a game in high school, you know, three straight national titles, number one quarterback in the country. And he came in at the same time as who was our starter? I think it was Dwayne Haskins, right? And Dwayne beat him for the job.
Yeah. This is QB1 boy, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, and that just kind of started a downward spiral because then he went to Miami and then he didn't get the job there because he expected to have the job. So he didn't really try for it. Then he tried wide receiver and then went over to like UNLV and then just announced he retired like four weeks ago.
Yeah. But that's the thing, bro.
I don't want that to happen to Quinn.
That's a perfect example, though, because it's like Would Tate have ever thought to himself, I'm not going to beat Dwayne out for the job?
Right, but here's the difference, though. Here's the difference. You need to still show up. Like, even if you think you deserve the job, you think you're going to be the starter, right? You need to earn it still. And, like, if you don't have that mindset, you're going to have what exactly happened to Tate happen to you. And I hope for Quinn's sake, he's not walking into that Texas locker room feeling entitled because of the NIL check he's got from Columbus and what all the 247 recruiting analysts say about him. I hope he gets in there, works his ass off, and wins the job, and then performs, you know, how people expect him to. Because nowadays, with the transfer portal and everything, I think that the egos of these players are at a very dangerous, fragile point. And, you know, if they allow, I should be the starter wherever I go to rule them, you're just going to see. I mean, Tate's a perfect example of like a cautionary tale in today's football. Yeah.
But I think the difference between Quinn Ewers and Tate Martell is Tate Martell stuck it out a little bit to see what was going to happen. You know, he didn't know. He lost a job the first year, and he still wrote it out for another year at Ohio State. So he at least tried to fight for that job, you know? Quinn Ewers straight up didn't even try, bro. 17, dude should still be in high school, honestly. Didn't want to compete, just wanted the things handed to him. And it's going to get handed to him at Texas, so he got what he wanted. So,
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I hope for his sake, again, because those Texas boosters, man, they are on another level. So I hope he performs, because his head's going to be on a chopping block if he doesn't. That's just how they roll in Texas with their football. So he wasn't, unfortunately, I think, from somebody that was a little bit out of our control, right? I think Quinn Ewers' special case, the Eli Ricks situation rubbed me a little bit differently, Anthony. And I think it was because the time that it happened, right? None of this other stuff that happened that was positive for Ohio State in this offseason had occurred yet. And this was like the first big milestone for Ohio State in the offseason. And to me, it just was like a total swing and a miss. Like, how could you come out and say that you don't want a talented player on your team because you're afraid of the guys on your team leaving?
Who said that? I forgot which player said that. I heard that it was a player on the team that threatened to transfer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Seven Banks said he was going to transfer out. And then he fucking transferred out anyway. So, I mean.
Yeah, that's just wild to me. I mean,
I heard that it was one of the players that said that if we sign him, wild. Then I'm leaving. So I think that's what the situation was. That's what I heard, at least. I don't know what the truth to it is. But either way, if it was Seven Banks, bro, you fell off big time, man. Good luck wherever you end up. But what the fuck? I mean, if you said that and we didn't get a player because of that, yeah. That's on the coaching regardless. You don't listen to what a player says. That's not their job, yeah. You know. The coaches decide who gets brought in, right? Somebody says, oh, you bring this guy in, I'm going to transfer. Don't bring him in. You still transfer anyways. I mean, I don't know. That was a huge miss, though, because Elias Ricks should have been a Buckeye from the start. So,
I mean, you also had a point earlier, Mike, is you got to think about how old he used to do about a Cita.
See the field.
God, the depth is ridiculous this year. I mean, yeah, it's quality over quantity, but even then, like, you guys lost some wideouts. You guys brought in more, you know, you added on an extra quarterback. Defense is definitely stacked this year between linebackers, corners, safeties. Yeah, I don't know. It would have been a great pickup, though, because you're right. He's going to be one of those guys that's, you know, generational talent, at least at his position. So,
I mean, it's to me, it's like the equivalent of somebody like a Davante Adams hitting, you know, free agency in the NFL. It's like, yeah, we got receivers, but do we have a Davante Adams? Like, can we not trade our third, like our slot receiver and like change our second receiver to slot? So I'm sure we could find the place for Davante Adams on our team. Like, yeah. I'm sure Ohio State could have found the place for Eli Ricks on their secondary. Yeah. So we've talked a lot about the Ohio State, you know, team, program as a whole, obviously the expectations. So let's end this episode, this offseason check-in with some hot takes like we always love to. So let's just go around here and we'll each throw out like one or two hot takes for Ohio State next year in terms of whatever it is, you know, end goal, surprise impact player, something like that. My first hot take is I think Ohio State is going to have 3 of the top 6 Heisman finalists next year. I think it's going to be JSN, not in any order. I think CJ and then JSN and Travion. And I also think my second hot take is I think Ohio State next year is going to come out against that team up north, and they're going to beat them by at least 4 touchdowns.
Okay. I like that hot take. I was going to use your first hot take as a really good one. But I will say a really good hot take I would say is that not JSN leads Ohio State in receiving. Marvin Harrison Jr. leads Ohio State in receiving. Kind of like how nobody thought JSN was going to lead us in receiving last year. It was supposed to be Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave, and JSN almost doubled them up. So I'm going to say Marvin Harrison is the guy that leads us in receiving. So that's my hot take.
I don't have too many hot takes. And I don't know Ohio State. It's hard to have hot takes on a team that's so damn good. you know, I guess the hot take that I'll make is we'll see Ohio State in bare minimum top 4. You'll watch them in the college football playoff. And if anything, this may be the first one in 6 years. It's been a long time coming. But
okay, so that was going to be my final question to you, Dre, as an outsider to wrap up the episode. I was going to be like, can we say Natty Watch?
Natty Watch is definitely 110% on the table. Y'all have, with the pickups for defense, y'all have a really good shot.
Yeah, well, that is the goal every year for Ohio State. Hopefully they can reach the top of the mountain next year. Anthony, thank you so much for hopping on. Once again, OSU_Buckeyes on Instagram. Make sure you follow that if you're an Ohio State fan or you just want to learn more about the Buckeyes. But Anthony, thank you so much for taking time off your Wednesday night with us. I really appreciate it. And can't speak for Dre, but I can speak for myself when I say OH.
Io, bro.
Thanks for listening to Slightly Offsides. We'll catch you next time.